Before Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead, he told his disciples that he would be leaving them, but he would not leave them alone. He promised that he would send another to help them. Our gospel lesson today records that promise. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." And in verse 18, Jesus said, "I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans." And he meant this. Although he ascended to heaven, he would send us his Holy Spirit to live with us. Later in John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth." And in Luke 24, 49, before he ascended, Jesus said to his disciples, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." And in Acts 1, 4, Jesus told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father, the one that he promised, the one that you've heard me speaking about. For John baptized you with water, but you will now soon be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus promised several times that he was going to send someone to help them. He would not leave them alone. He would send them the Holy Spirit, but they would have to wait in the city until that time came. And now the time has come. 50 days after his resurrection, 10 days after he ascended, the one, the counselor, the helper whom Jesus had promised came. And our text in Acts chapter 2 records that on that day of Pentecost, there were 120 believers. They were all gathered in a room and they were praising and praying and worshiping God when suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and just filled the whole room. And then we're told that they saw what seemed to be flames coming down from the heavens. And they spread out and they rested on each of them. This was the one that they were waiting for. The Holy Spirit came like a wind, and then it came down like flaming tongues of fire. And all who were present were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we're told that they began to speak in other languages. Now, I'm not going to get into the topic of speaking in tongues, but I do want us to focus on this miracle that happened that occurred because of the Holy Spirit. At some point, these 120 believers left that room, went into the streets, and were surrounded by the people who were in Jerusalem for the feast. And the Spirit had filled them, empowered them to do something that they were not trained to do, and that was speak other existing languages. We're told in verse 6 that the crowd was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their own language. This was not some divine language. It was not the language of angels, but it was the language of men. And Luke gives us a list of the nationalities who were present. From east of the Roman Empire, which is known now as Iran, came the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites. And then moving westward into Mesopotamia, we have which is modern-day Iraq and Judea. And then we came to Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, all of which is now in modern-day Turkey. Then we went to Egypt and Libya and Rome, and finally to Crete and Arabia. And Luke is giving us this list of nationalities to show us that people from all over the known world at that time were in Jerusalem hearing this good news on this incredible day of Pentecost. All the people groups are hearing these uneducated Galileans speaking in a strange tongue, sometimes hearing one, though, that sounded familiar. And so they'd grab a hold of that. I understand that, but everything else just sounds like babble to me. Just didn't make sense. And trying to understand it, they concluded that, well, everyone was drunk. Even though it was only 9 in the morning, these guys have gotten out of hand. How many of you have ever been in a room full of people speaking in other languages? A friend of mine and his church were helping Russians to migrate to the United States, and my friend taught himself Russian so that he could be a translator for them at the doctor's office and in the courthouses and things like that. And so one day I just stopped by to see what he was up to, and he was helping one of these large families move. And he asked me if I would help, and I said, sure. And so we moved them, and then he looked at all their boxes in the new home. He said, you know what? All your cooking utensils are all packed up. He said, I'm going to cook for you, and Rick's going to help me. So we just made simple spaghetti and a salad and some bread. But as we sat around eating, about 15 of us, and because they spoke very little English, they were all speaking in Russian, and my friend was speaking with them. And then he would say something, and they would all look at me and start to laugh. Wasn't a very comfortable feeling, but that's, you know, it to me, they just sounded like they were babbling. And that's what it sounded like to these folks. And so they concluded that they were just drunk. But Peter stands and he corrects them and he says, these people aren't drunk, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit of the risen and resurrected living Jesus Christ. After Peter continued and finished his off-the-cuff sermon, the people said, well, what should we do, Peter? He said, repent and be baptized, and you too will be filled with the Holy Spirit and given gifts. And 3,000 people became believers that day. And they watched the disciples do incredible miracles. Now, did these 3,000 people do miracles? We don't know. But the disciples definitely did. But you know, miracles aren't the only sign of the Holy Spirit's presence and indwelling. In our gospel lesson today and throughout the book of John, we learn that the Holy Spirit teaches us. The Spirit reminds us of what Jesus' words were, what he taught. The Spirit convicts us of sin. The Spirit shows us God's righteousness. The Spirit guides us in truth, and the Spirit gives insight to future events. The Holy Spirit empowers us, guides us, gives us wisdom, and gives us gifts to continue doing the ministry of Jesus Christ, which is sharing this incredible news of the gospel to all people. And sometimes he gives us the ability to perform miracles. In John 14, Jesus said, you don't believe me because I'm teaching? Well, then believe me because of the miracles that I do. And then he went on to tell his disciples, he said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. As a matter of fact, you're going to do even greater things than I have done. Greater than Jesus? We're going to do greater things than healing the lame and the deaf and the blind. We're going to do greater things than multiplying bread and fish and feeding 10,000 people. We're going to do greater things than stopping the storm or walking on water. We're going to do greater things than casting out demons or raising the dead to life? How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left heaven to come be one of us, he left his glory and his power in heaven. And he was a man. And he says several times throughout Scripture that he does nothing on his own accord, but everything he does is through the power of the Spirit. And on the day that he was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove and lit upon him. And from that moment on, Jesus started doing miracles. The disciples could do great things as well, because there is power, my friends, in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of this incredible power. How many of you have ever ridden on a trolley car? Maybe in San Francisco or a streetcar. How many of you have at least seen one? Rice-A-Roni commercials, you know, San Francisco treat. I'm dating myself again. I told you I'm getting old. You know, the driver of those trolley cars can easily make the car go faster or slower simply by touching a handle. And as they come into an intersection, they'll slow that car down. They won't bring it to a complete stop, but it just creeps and crawls along. When he touches the handle again, it takes off and goes faster. And you know how they do this? Because underground is a cable that is attached to an incredible power source. And on the bottom of these trolley cars, there is a clamp that touches that cable. And when the trolley driver squeezes the handle, the clamp underneath, it loosens. And it's just barely touching the wire, so it's not getting as much electricity, so it goes much slower. That's called skinning the wire. When it's just touching, it's called skinning the wire. And when he releases that handle, the clamp grabs a hold of that wire, and it gets the full surge of all that incredible power coming from that power source. Unfortunately, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, too many of us Christians are just skinning the wire. We're barely getting any of that energy. I believe the Holy Spirit is the most neglected and misunderstood person of the Holy Trinity. We have 66 books in the New Testament that give us an understanding of the character and personhood of God the Father. And we have 27 books in the New Testament that give us an understanding of the character and person of God the Son. But throughout both, we get a scattering of instances about the Holy Spirit, but we don't really understand the Spirit. The Spirit is very much a mystery to us, and because we shy away, or because of that, we shy away, and we really don't get to know the Holy Spirit. But ever since Pentecost, it is the Spirit who is our main contact. It is the Spirit who counsels and guides us. It is the Spirit who is the source of our wisdom and the source of our power. And we shy away from the Spirit. We just touch the Spirit. We're just skinning the wire. But that's not what Jesus taught us to do, is it? That's not what he wanted us to do. Jesus wants us to grab a hold of that cable, that power, that Holy Spirit, the power source, and run as fast as we can, sharing this good news. But most of us, we just skin the wire. How many of you, when you pray, you start your prayer something like, Heavenly Father, or Lord in Heaven, or, you know, Dear Jesus, right? How many of you start your prayers, Dear Holy Spirit? Why not? You know, we profess a faith in the mysterious Holy Trinity, one God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is fully equal, fully eternal, fully God, none greater than the other. They just each have distinct roles. The Holy Spirit was involved and instrumental in creation. And when we read the book of Revelation, we see how the Holy Spirit is going to be at the end of the time. The Holy Spirit is the one who prompts us to come to know Christ. That's how we come to faith, through the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who convicts us of our sin. The Holy Spirit empowers us to give witness to Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit who instructs us was instrumental in the conception of Jesus as a human. And it is the Spirit who played a unique role in inspiring and supervising the writing of the Holy Scriptures. And the Spirit helps us today to discern those. And it is the Holy Spirit who is the source of our gifts that equips us for ministry in the church to build the kingdom of God. So why don't we want to know this person more? Why don't we pray to the Spirit? Our Lord and Savior ascended, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he awaits a time when he will return and take us to himself. But as he promised, even though he's not with us now in person, he promised he would not leave us alone. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of our Lord and Savior was sent to live in the hearts of all believers. Prior to this, the Spirit was unavailable to everyone. It was only available to those special people that God sent the Spirit to, the Moseses, the Joshuas, the Davids, the Ezekiels, the Isaiahs. But on the day of Pentecost, that all changed. And now the Spirit is available to everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. That includes you and me. If we are believers, the Spirit lives inside us, and that power source is there. We just need to stop skinning the wire, and we need to grab hold and hang on tight. My friends, pray and ask for the Holy Spirit to empower you to do ministry in the Spirit will. And when we, the people of God's church, decide to do that, to grab a hold of that incredible power, like the apostles, we will do great things, even greater than Jesus himself. And the church will grow and the church will glorify God. So I want to encourage you today, seek out the Holy Spirit. Don't shy away from him. Don't be afraid, but be curious. Ask questions. Seek the Holy Spirit. Build a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as you do, as you get to know the Holy Spirit better, you're going to quickly recognize an old familiar friend, the Father and the Son. For there are three persons, but only one God, the God of all ages and the God of eternity. So, my friends, what do you say we grab a hold of that power source and go? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Holy Spirit, we thank you this day. We thank you for your presence, not only here this morning, but in every day of our lives. When we said yes to Jesus, you filled us. We became your holy temple. Help us to live in that knowledge. Help us to be like you. Empower us, encourage us, instill in us just incredible faith that nothing can deter us. We have the ability. Help us to turn it on. This we ask in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.